Our reading today is, I think, in a real way, the kernel of Christian thinking. And I suggested in one of the earlier statements I made that the ideal of Christianity is always a challenge. And we call it an ideal because ideals are not reachable, but they keep us always reaching. And so when we talk today about the things we are going to talk about, remember that as opposed to the ideal for which we strive, we are also allowed to be able to say, when we don't quite get there, Kyrie eleison, which is Lord have mercy, because we just can't do it all perfectly. Paul is talking to the people of Corinth. By the way, this is 2 Corinthians. You know the famous 2 Corinthians? It's 2 Corinthians, a passage where Paul is talking about the fact that Jesus became the Christ in his willingness to suffer and die for us, and we all know that. And in his suffering and dying and rising, he brought us all with him into this whole experience of eternal life. That's early church thinking. That's back in the 50s, before the 60s even. This is where the Christian church was. Centuries later, we have disseminated that in so many different ways that it's impossible to grasp. The reality is, the whole act of Jesus uniting with us as humanity bonded us with God in an unbreakable bond, and we are therefore always people of eternal life. With that in mind, Paul reminds his community of this. After all of this, from now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the whole world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them or entrusting the message of reconciliation to us alone. So we are all ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of the Christ. Be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Be reconciled in God. The word of the Lord. Do you recognize this person? I think you all received one of these. Mm-hmm. Most of us don't recognize this person. But what do we see? We see a Muslim woman, a young Muslim woman. And according to the way we, each of us, internalize what Muslim woman means, we decide what our response is going to be. Recognizing people for who they are is extremely important in deciding who indeed we are going to be for them. To tell a story of a woman, this is a true story because she died and she went to heaven and she stood before God. And God said, "What are you doing here, Dorothy? You're not supposed to be here." She said, "Well, where am I supposed to be?" He said, "You're supposed to live until you're 65. You're only 30. You don't belong here." And so he said, "Well, in fairness, I'll send you back and go live out the rest of your life." And so she came back. And she decided, because she knew she had the guarantee of all those years, she'd do some things she always wanted to do. She had a good time. She traveled. She made a lot of friends. She made a lot of money. She had herself nipped and tucked here and there. She went through a complete transformation in the plastic surgeon's office, etc. And then one day, she had a car accident, and she was dead, long before she was supposed to die. And so she comes before God again, and God says, "You're here." She said, "Yes, you told me I was going to live till I was 65 years old. I'm only 40. How come I'm here?" "Dorothy, I didn't recognize you," with all the nips and tucks and dyes and all the things that we do to ourselves. Isn't it true that until we really get beyond the surface, we don't really recognize people for who they are? Jesus capitalizes on that in Matthew 25. You know, the very famous passage of Matthew 25, where the sheep are on one side and the goats are on the other. And those who are being condemned say, "Well, when did we see you hungry and thirsty? When did we see you in prison and naked and do all these things? When did we not respond to you?" And he says, "If you didn't see me in my brothers and sisters, you didn't see me at all." That's a very hard truth. Because, you know, each one of us, wherever we happen to be, whatever our political ilk, whatever our religious divisions, whatever our understanding of life, our perspective gives us certainly a definition and an experience from which we come in dealing with one another. We judge one another from that place. We decide good and bad from that place. We decide what is worthy and what is not from that place. We judge the whole world from that place, which is our right. Because as individuals, that's the only world that we can have a part in and control. It's essential. It's a human thing. Interestingly, I found this quotation I put at the beginning of the bulletin from an organization called the Reconciliation Project. And when they talk about reconciliation, they define it as, and I put it in big black print, it means coming back to a place where people are seen as people instead of objects. As people instead of objects. Recognize her? It's very easy, brothers and sisters, for each of us to deal with the world around us as it's paraded. Right now we have a world where 60 million people have been dispossessed from their homes because of wars or genocides, who have been removed from the stability of their own lives with their families and their children into a world of hopelessness because of political struggles and all the kinds of things that human beings do to each other in order to maintain power. You can't pick up a newspaper today without being reminded that there are many out there who are dispossessed. We have heard in the last year stories and horrific pictures of refugees risking their lives to cross bodies of water and to traverse thousands of miles of land on foot in order to find a place that they can call home. Home is the place where you and I find counsel, we find nurture, we find our families and all the things we love. We surround ourselves with the beauties of our lives. And we take millions and millions of pictures to remember those moments. These are people who didn't have a shot because somebody decided that they were going to take over their land and do something different. Bible, you know, has been very, very strong about the dispossessed people. You go back to the story of Ruth. And in Ruth and her mother-in-law are bereft of their possibility of survival because of the deaths of their husbands. And in that culture, any woman who was not married or didn't have a male somehow responsible for her survival, she was on her own. And the beautiful story about Ruth and Naomi is that even though Ruth is given the option to go back to her homeland and there in her old home find some kind of solace, she stays with her former mother-in-law, and they work together in a bond to create a new home. Jesus capitalizes on that very simple story, and I think bringing right to today, when we're talking about another collection, we have only have five in UCC, the United Church of Christ. This is one that happens to deal this year with refugees, with dispossessed people, with migrants. And brothers and sisters, as Christian people, as normal people, as American people, we may have certain decisions we have made about, for example, the immigrants coming from Mexico, or the ones working their way up from Central America to come here. And what that does to our lifestyle, what that allows us to do or not to do as a people, as a nation, how that threatens us, or maybe alleviates some of the problems we are dealing with. Each group has its own agenda. Each comes at it from a different place. But each one of us, each of us, somehow stands before the statement that we are all God's people and that we have celebrated the fact that we are really one body on this earth. And we need to make a response. And making a response is not easy. It turns my stomach and my mind sometimes when I listen to politicians discuss the issue, simply because they don't see this as a person. They don't see the migrant worker as a person. Bye, Phoenix. I'm so glad he found his voice. He has been very quiet the last few weeks. We don't see people. We see migrant problems. We see immigration laws. We see other things. And maybe we are justified in doing that. And I'm not here to say we shouldn't see those things. Because I, like you, have as many difficulties, and I should be the last person suggesting anything more than this. I came across a word this week, an expression in some of my reading, where the person writing talked about moral injury. Not a moral crisis or a conscience crisis, a moral injury. And it was illustrated by the fact that story of a young man who had served in Afghanistan who was very debilitated in wounds. And in his three tours there, saw all kinds of horrific things. These are his descriptions. They somehow didn't realize until somebody came up to him when he was handing a child a candy bar. And the father came rushing over and looked him in the eyes and rescued his son from what he saw as the enemy. And he said, all I could see in that man's eyes was hate. And after 5 years of being back and being in therapy and going through all the healing he needed to do with missing leg, etc., he could not let go of that image because he said, I recognized myself as somebody I did not know. I had become somebody else. I did it for all the good reasons. I went over there to help people and to support the cause and to make a difference in people's lives. And I did all that I was required to do. But it wasn't until that moment that he realized that he had never thought about those people and what their thinking was, what their need was, what their goals were, and how that tied into his life. And so he said, I have become a different person. I do not recognize who I am. I have always been a good person. I cannot get past this. And I thought, a few weeks back, you remember, I told you about a nightmare I had in which I discovered that I could never be a peacemaker because I was so angry with what had taken place in my dream that I woke up enraged and not able to even think about being forgiving. And maybe this is the same kind of situation for us. We look at what's going on in the world today and we are confronted with this reading. Maybe we recognize that we've become people that we don't recognize because it isn't at all what we believed. It isn't at all what we've been taught or what we've clung to all of our lives. Maybe we even come to a point of questioning the very foundations of our lives. But without getting into that deep hole, I just want to assure you of this. Paul says something very powerful. If you are reconciled in God, that is, if you can stand in the presence of God in humility, you have become a new creation. That isn't a one-time event. That is time after time after time where life throws you into that place of moral injury, where maybe you recognize something different about yourself, that maybe I can find again, moving into that place of reconciliation. And when I do, I am in God. And then I have a gift to offer the world. It may not change the world. It may not change the laws. It may not stop the enmity or the anger or the hatred or the wars or the misery. But I can nurture the bit of the world that I touch. And that, brothers and sisters, is really good news and a real gift. Let us be reconciled in God again and again. Amen.